We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a Learfield presentation of the Rice Sports Network. On the Rice Sports Network from Learfield, welcome to the Mike Bloomgren Show. In the next hour, Mike Bloomgren will break down the previous week and look ahead to what's next for the Owls. The Mike Bloomgren Show is brought to you by The Parking Spot. The Parking Spot. We have airport parking covered. National Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 716, lighting up Rice University in Houston for over 100 years. Now, alongside Coach Bloomgren, here's the voice of the Owls, J.P. Heath.
It is a happy Monday. Hope that it is treating you and yours well out there. The Mike Bloomgren Show, presented by Fuddruckers, another virtual show here tonight. Fuddruckers. I am going there. I was just talking to Jen, our GM. We're going to make a trip on over to Fuddruckers here this week, and I encourage you to as well. Fuddruckers, the world's greatest hamburgers, whether your crave is grilled onions, crispy bacon, three cheese, or all the above. They've got you. Our produce and homemade buns, always fresh and delicious. Come on by and create your crave today at Fuddruckers. That's the South McGregor and 288 location. Can't wait till I get my next Fuddruckers. Appreciate you tuning in tonight. Thanks to Mike back at the studio for connecting us again. We have Dunleavy Family Head Football Coach Mike Bloomgren coming up here in moments. Big week to recap that Rice Owls victory against Texas Southern, 48-34. A lot to get to on that one. How about the career high day from Big 7, Jordan Myers? He will join us coming up in a couple of segments talking about his career, that game, but mainly, as you probably have gotten to know Jordan over these 6 years with the program, he credits everybody else around him. I had to record him earlier because, you know, those Rice guys getting his master's in accounting, he had class, so he joined me after practice. We'll hear from him coming up in a little bit. We'll talk to OC Marcus Tuiasosopo. He'll talk about his connection with Coach Bloomgren. I'm sure we'll touch on his pro career, the first-year OC for the Owls, and evaluate the quarterbacks. He's also the quarterback's boss, talking about Jake Constantine's good game. and how Luke McCaffrey fits into that mix as well. The Owls found a great dynamic there Saturday night in that victory over the Texas Southern Tigers. And then Coach Blomgren comes back and we'll talk about those Southern Miss Golden Eagles. Rice and Southern Miss, first-year head coach Will Hall bringing his Golden Eagles in. 12th all-time meeting between Rice and Southern Miss coming up this Saturday, 5:30 on ESPN3. It's Hall of Fame weekend. Former footballers Chase Clement and Larry Izzo among the 11 inducted. And fortunate enough, again, to do those voiceovers that you'll hear at the Hall of Fame banquet coming up Friday night. And what another prize class that we have coming up for you out there. If you have not seen the list, it's a great one. I encourage you to go to riceowls.com and check that one out. But among those footballers, obviously the names of Chase Clement and Larry Izzo are well known. The latter coach Izzo now, still in his NFL circles. And Chase Clement, one of the best quarterbacks in Rice school history with that great 2018. But it's Hall of Fame weekend coming up against Southern Miss. You can stream us on the Rice Owls Game Day app. Make sure you subscribe to that Rice Owls Insider podcast as well for an archive of this coach's show if there's anything that you missed. On the Owls sporting updates, Rice volleyball swept North Texas Saturday and Sunday. Shaylee Shore today was named the Conference USA Freshman of the Week. Congrats to her. She tied her season high with 8 kills in that sweep in Denton. Owls got 2 for the price of 1, staying there Saturday and Sunday. But Shaylee also had 3 service aces in that sweep. And on the first sweep on Sunday, she had another good game, a good match as well. The Owls rolling on the hardwood. And Rice football again coming up this weekend. Rice House fall ball has started up. Jose Cruz Jr. era is officially underway. It was good seeing some of that last week. And, of course, Rice House football coming up in just a bit. We'll hear from Dunleavy Family Head Football Coach Mike Blomgren breaking down that win against Texas Southern. Stay tuned. Back with more of the Mike Blomgren Show brought to you by Fuddruckers. Back in a moment from Learfield.
The biggest schools.
Grabs in traffic, comes down with it. Touchdown.
Touchdown.
Touchdown. Touchdown, Alabama.
Ohio State.
Oregon. LSU.
The biggest moments.
Incomplete. You cannot hit the line.
Michigan. Game over.
Touchdown, Gators. How much?
This is the College Football Rewind.
That had to be a great game to watch. I'll tell you, unbelievable.
Download on Sunday mornings on Apple Podcasts. Search College Sports now. Highlighting the Owls on the gridiron. Welcome back to the Mike Blomgren Show. Here again, your host, J.P. Heath.
The Rice Owls and the Southern Miss Golden Eagles coming up this weekend. Hall of Fame weekend. This show brought to you by Fuddruckers, the world's greatest hamburgers. Whether your crave is grilled onions, crispy bacon, 3 cheese, or all the above, we've got you. Our produce, homemade buns, always fresh and delicious. Come by, create your crave today at Fuddruckers. That's that 288 and South McGregor location. Joined now by Dunleavy Family Head Football Coach Mike Blomgren. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, JP. How you doing, bud?
I cannot complain one bit. Always great to have a victory Monday, but I know there are some things you still want to work on, but how about the offensive showing? From the first play, you guys had a click in on the offensive side of things. That was obviously one of the big positives that you and the coaches saw from that. What did you think?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that was a big step forward for our offensive unit and something we really needed for our confidence. You know, and it's great to go out there and execute, but it's even better to finish the game the way the offense did on the field and really a strong showing. In all 4 quarters, we challenged them. Coach Tui challenged them to have at least 2 explosives per quarter. And we missed it because we only had 1 in the second quarter. But I think we ended up having something like 15 throughout the game. So that's really exciting.
How about Jordan Myers? Career high, 160 yards. He had that 64-yarder that was massive at the time. But he continues to show up. He's been Mr. Reliable for you here. 6th year of the program, took that bonus year. But how about number 7 for you?
Yeah, really proud of him. Proud of him, proud for him. I thought that was outstanding to lead the way he did and to make just play after play. And just tell us, like, coach, you know, put more on me. I got you. And that's exactly what we did. And he responded, like you said, with 4 touchdowns. pretty awesome.
After the game, you told Jason that he's everything we want in this program. So elaborate on him in that he has really carried the torch for you, one of those captains, and obviously that's big enough, but he's been just kind of a big light from you going across both coaching tenures, and he's academic, athletic, leadership all the way around, the things he's done for you.
Yeah, he really has. Like, from being a two-time captain to really, I guess, in the middle of those 2 years, making a decision to come back to Rice because how much he loved his coaches and his teammates and wanting to finish what we started. And I just respect him so much and love what he pours into this game and how much he pours into teammates.
Your top three backs are now averaging about 5 yards per carry, give or take a decimal point or two in there. How big is that even each team rushing total on a whole, it's gotten better each week? So getting back to more of what you preach, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I know we'll talk about this later, but what a great challenge this week against the top 20 rush defense in America. And I challenged the blocking unit and the backs with that today. Like, that's an outstanding challenge. But I do love the steps they're taking. I love that we're getting to be more comfortable living and breathing that intellectual brutality and being able to move the line of scrimmage. And those backs are hitting it really well. And it's so awesome when you see one of them square up a safety like Jordan did and make him miss and then finish that thing in the end zone 64 yards later or whatever it was.
And Jake Constantine, Luke McCaffrey, both got a lot of time at quarterback. What did you like from those two guys? And for the first time this season, we saw just a great balance, and both guys made plays in different ways. What did you like about them?
Yeah, I thought they both largely affected the game in a positive manner. We talked about it at the press conference. There was a couple of plays I think Jake would love to have back, and I'd love for him to have back. But that's pretty good on whatever it is when you complete 80% of your balls and there's only a couple of decisions that are really regrettable. And that's a big deal. And then Luke, I thought, affected the game in a very positive manner. I thought he came in and I can't remember what he averaged per carry. I know they fixed one of the stats, so it was close to 9 yards per carry being in there, and just the stress he puts on the defense. That's pretty cool, too. So I think we've got some people doing some good things, players doing their job a little bit better and tightening up, and I think Coach Chewy's doing an unbelievable job leading the staff and leading the offensive unit.
You mentioned the big fellas earlier. I wanted to concentrate on that center of the line, starting Braden Nutter, highly regarded guard that came in just kind of sliding down the road coming from Tomball. What did you like about him and making his first career start? And then that was open because Shea had to slide over center. So how do you evaluate those two spots?
Yeah, I think first, I think just talking about it in totality, like, hey, we had a lot of adversity last week. You know, losing a starter like Isaac Clarkowski was tough. And it was tough for everybody, but that's what you have to do. You have to have next man up mentality and move Shea to center, a position he hasn't played much since 2018. And then you have to plug in Braden Nutter. And gosh, those are two big moves. You know how much we put on our center and how we ask him to direct everything up there, and everybody's got to see the game through his eyes. And I thought Shea did a great job pointing and getting everybody on the same page. But Nutter stepped in there for a first start and really played well. You mentioned he's from right up the road. We've known about him. I remember when Coach Sabota first brought him to me and said, hey, there's this defensive lineman that we think is going to be an outstanding offensive lineman in college. And I just love the physicality he plays with. And you were able to see that on display on Saturday as well. So a lot of fun. Hate the way it came about, but certainly glad Nutter got some good experience and really performed well.
It's the Mike Blumgren Show here on Learfield. We mentioned Coach Tui. He's coming up in the next segment. If you don't mind, elaborate a little more on him, how the offense has obviously progressed the last few weeks, and just connecting with him, your obvious Jets ties. Everybody knows that story, but him coming from the West Coast, implementing some new strategies on offense, but how things really seem to be clicking here, like we said earlier, the last few weeks.
Yeah, I just think the way he's working with that room and getting everybody in that room to grow like he has just been unbelievable. And so much of it is the time you spend in the meeting room together and getting them to understand what he's doing, why he's planning a certain pass play, and how he wants it read out. And, you know, again, the practice reps are everything. Like, we rely on those. We spend twice as much time preparing for practice as we actually do practicing as coach. And in steps Jake Constantine with very little, if any, practice since August 10th with the ones or twos. I think it was actually zero reps with the ones or twos. And he performs okay. And then you see with a week of Tui's tutelage on the field how much he improves. So he's not just getting, like, a couple guys in that room. They're all coming along, and we get to see Shoki Itrash, like, how good he's doing at those Friday scrimmages when we get to have our freshmen out there. So everybody in that room is growing, and Tui's just doing an unbelievable job.
So equal fire here, Coach. You know, I'm a fair guy. Hopefully we know each other well enough by now. I'm going to ask him, what was Mike Bloomgren like when you were quarterback for the Jets? So I'll ask you, what do you remember about Tui from back then and how he's changed or how he's different? What do you remember from back then?
Oh, I think he's the same guy.
Oh, really?
He's a guy that loves this game. He comes to work the right way. And he did that when he was one of our quarterbacks in New York. You know, he'd come in there, have this great energy about him, just loving the day, loving the opportunity to be here. At that time, he was playing football, and now he gets to coach it. And I don't think he takes a day for granted. I think he approaches everything the right way. I think he's very fun to play for that reason.
So after the game, I don't know what it is. All the high school coaches and college coaches I've known, y'all have these great quotes, and I need to start making a notebook. But you were talking about some improvements you want to see from the defense. You have to treat the victories and the losses, the imposters that they are. So what were some of those things that you want to see improvement? Obviously, the stats tell us a story, but I'm interested to see a couple days out from the defensive side what you want to see is better, to do better.
Yeah, the thing that we've been able to clean up around here for the most part is not letting balls go over our head at the DB position. And that's got to be a must. We've got to play top down, and we've got to make sure that we're communicating the right way between the safeties and the corners and having great eye discipline so the balls don't go over our heads. And as we always know, like, the rushing coverage worked together. A lot of those balls that went over our heads were when somebody lost contain in their rush and the quarterback was able to run around there. And my hat's off to Coach McKinney and what he was able to do to get that young quarterback ready to play. And I thought the quarterback just showed incredible courage. And when he did get outside the pocket, he made plays. So in totality, we've got to tackle better in space. We've got to contain and keep our rush lanes. And then we've got to play top down on the back end.
And KK Orgy's had three straight games of five tackles. What's KK do? And we heard from him last week in a lot of different settings, but he's had other good games, but he's playing his most consistent ball of his career. If I'm kind of in the ballpark there, what do you think about him?
Yeah, I think the evolution of KK is one that should be studied by everybody. Like, when we first got here, you know, we were like, oh gosh, what are we going to do with this piece? He's strong and he's big, but he's kind of stiff. And man, he has just worked himself into being one of our best players on defense, one of our most reliable guys. And you really don't see that stiffness anymore when he's on the field. He's a guy that just see ball, get ball, and he's really physical at the point of attack. I mean, the first play of the game, he beats the tackle inside and tackles the ball carrier for a 2-yard loss. And those are the things we come to expect from KK, is to get the offense off schedule because of his physicality and because of his ability to make plays.
And a couple spots down on the line, Elijah Garcia, third on your team in tackles. On most stat sheets, you have to go down maybe sixth or seventh to have your first defensive lineman. Speak to Elijah and how, hey, we've seen this before, and you're gladly seeing what he's done throughout his career. What do you think Elijah's first part of the season's been like?
Yeah, that's a really interesting stat you threw out there. I think that's a great testament to Brian Smith and how he's got the line moving and some of the games he's playing within the game. But those guys are executing it. And so I think Elijah's growth's been real. You know, I had an opportunity to talk to a scout at practice today that's really excited about his future and his upside. And I think if he can keep taking game-by-game steps, he'll just see himself playing at that next level.
And finally, on special teams, Van Sickle's taken over the kicking duties. He had a lot of opportunities, thankfully, working him in. Transferred from Elon College, but what are some of the things you liked about him getting him in that spot and just a veteran guy? I know we'll see field goal opportunities down the line, but tell us a little more about him.
Yeah, he is a veteran guy, and not only did he do extra points and field goals on Saturday, he took over the kickoff duties as well after the opening kickoff, and you know, he really ended the game strong. Our first kickoff coming out of halftime, we tackled him at the 14-yard line. And the last three kickoffs of the game were either fair caught or touchbacks. And that's awesome. That makes kickoff coverage really easy when you can boot it that far with that kind of hang time. So I'm really proud of what Christian's been able to do in a short time here, starting to really earn Coach Mono's trust. And certainly all those PAT field goal opportunities in the future, we expect him to go through the pipes.
All right, Coach. Talk to you later. Preview Coach Hall's team. And thank you much. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Dunleavy Family Head Football Coach Mike Bloomgren. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we'll have OC Marcus Tuiasosopo coming up next. This is the Mike Bloomgren Show from Learfield.
Hey, college football fans, I'm Mike Golick.
And I'm Kate Scott. This fall, we are bringing you a fresh new way to hear college football play-by-play. Golick and I teaming up for College Football Saturday Night, powered by Learfield.
It's a bold new way to listen to college football. Smart, fun, refreshing, food, I added that. A unique radio play-by-play experience, and I'm so looking forward to broadcasting live alongside Kate this fall.
College Football Saturday Night, powered by Learfield. Hope you'll join us.
This is the Mike Bloomgren Show. Here again, the voice of the Owls, J.P. Heath.
A happy Monday night to one and to all. Hope that it is treating you and yours well. Stay tuned in just a bit. We have the Jordan Myers coming up, and then Coach Bloomgren and I will preview the Southern Miss Golden Eagles coming up Saturday. Again, another 5:30 start time. Right now, joined by first-year offensive coordinator Marcus Tuiasosopo. Coach, how are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you too, man. I'm doing great. We had a great day, good practice to start off this week, and thrilled to start off this week after a victory.
Yeah, it's always great on a victory Monday. Let's talk a little bit about that game. What were the things that maybe jumped out at you after the fact? I mean, I'm sure it's a lot processing things at the time. You know things are going well, but just what have you liked a couple days out after that and on the offensive side?
I think first and foremost, what I take away from this game is that, you know, Coach Bloomgren challenged us, and you know, we had to put the brand out in, you know, full force. And and after that game, you know, our kids, our young men answered the challenge, and that's what is exciting to me as a coach. After coming off those, you know, those three games, non-conference, where we, you know, we threw our hat in the ring there, and we did some good things, but we were inconsistent as an offense. And so for these guys to come together, and the leadership to bring that crew together and come out and really put it all together, that was really exciting. Start the game out with that big play, kind of set the tone. You know, the O-line did a great job all game long in pass protection and in run blocking. I mean, Jordan Myers, what a game. Mm-hmm. And then really, I think to finish that game the way we did on the ground, that's who we are. And that's our mentality. That's intellectual brutality. So I think from my standpoint, amongst many really good things, you know, we weren't perfect. You know, as coaches, we're going to address those, and we already have today. But I think the many good things that happened, that stands out the most, I think, was just answering the call of our head coach and then finishing the game like we did on the ground, and really, I think, taking their will out of it there in the second half. That excites me as I look to move forward in our season.
Tell us a little bit about big picture Jake Constantine. Something you told me after practice last week really stuck with me. And in a different setting, I want to elaborate more with Jake about this. But you said he's worked a lot, and he's gone through a lot in his winding road of college football. But just talk about him as a guy and just how he fits kind of your scheme and what you're trying to do with some of the new wrinkles of the offense. And conversely, how Luke McCaffrey fits in there too, because as we saw the other night, they really meshed really well the other night.
Luke and Jake, I think, did a great job in terms of managing, you know, what we were asking them to do. Starting out with Jake, these last two games, you know, he's seen the field really well. And I think that speaks to him, you know, as a quarterback and his ability to throw the football. He's got natural accuracy. You know, he throws a nice catchable ball. He anticipates really, really well. I think in terms of as I look at him, you know, he came in that game against Texas, and a lot of times as a quarterback, it's easier to come into the game when you're not sure if you're going to play at all, and then you get thrown in because you just kind of just naturally react. It's a different animal when you know you're going to start the whole week. And I think a credit to him just preparing the way that he did last week and to continue to throw the ball at a high clip. I think he was 78%. That's not just him. I mean, the line has to do their job. The receivers did their job of getting open. The backs did as well as protecting him. But once they all do that, it's, you know, you still have to put your eyes in the right place, trust your coaching, and you know, he did a great job of that. I know he wishes he had one back and another play where I think we could have had another touchdown, but he's just really, you know, come on strong here. And he was doing that. If you go back to training camp, he started camp really, really well, and he has set back. And that was unfortunate for him because maybe things looked differently at the beginning of the year if he was able to go through camp. But it's a credit to him, and I think it's part of his personality. He's unflappable. And as we talked earlier in the week, just his path, he's had a fight for himself everywhere he's gone, and he's done it. And so we're excited that he's doing it now. You know, I think the guys are rallying behind him. And then what's nice is that he has a partner in crime there, and Luke McCaffrey, who's played a lot for us so far this year, and he did a great job in his role. And it's kind of a 1-2 punch, and then it just allows us to be so flexible. It makes us harder to defend because Luke can come in there and throw it. He ran it for us well last week. And the thing I think he presents to defenses, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, it's kind of like, we'll see how Rice is going to use him this game, and hopefully we pick the right plan. But I think those guys did a great job preparing. They, for the most part of the game, they operated what they needed to do and allowed us and gave us a chance to win along with their teammates. And so they're going to need to do that again this week. And they're in a good place right now. So we're just going to keep them going.
Offensive coordinator Marcus Tuiasosopo joining us here on the Mike Bloomgren Show. The running game has gotten better. I know that goes a lot with the improved line play here the last couple weeks. Part of that Texas game, y'all put a charge to them, and there was a better rushing total for the latter part of the Texas game and then the whole Texas Southern game. So kind of discuss the running game right now. Obviously, Jordan Myers, we're going to hear from Jordan next segment. Obviously, career-high game, but everybody, even when Kalen came in there and Ari came in there, they were hitting it and they were getting it and they were running. So it seems like they're running with their pants on fire here the last game and a half or so.
Yeah, it was a nice game for us in the run game. I think we had 8 guys have an explosive play. I think 7 of them were runners, 6 of them were runners. And then not to be left out, but Brandon Suckley came in on the fullback and carry 2 dive plays for, I think, an average just around 8 yards. And so when you're doing that, you're hitting on all cylinders. And that's what's exciting. You know, I think we flashed at times in the first 3 games. And to be able to put it all together under the circumstances, I think is a credit to our young men. You know, they have a strong desire to be great. They want to be champions. And it didn't go well. It could have been really easy for them to kind of just, you know, cave in and not play with the same passion or bring the same energy and focus. But these are good kids. And so to be able to get back on track was good. And I think for me, after that game and have them come out today and have a great practice, that excites me moving forward because I know these guys are focused and ready to go.
Most everybody knows your playing background, longtime NFL quarterback, but I wanted to focus more right now on your longtime assistant coach road and coming and obviously having great success out west and then coming here to South Maine. What's intrigued you? Because, I don't mind tooting your horn, but not to make you blush, I suppose, but you won a lot of accolades. You had a lot of high recruiting classes out there out west in the Pac-12. So, discuss this transition to Rice and what you've seen as far as the brand. I know it comes with Coach Bloomgren, but and how, I know we can't talk specific recruits, but how that message of Rice football is continuing to get out there on the recruiting side.
Yeah, I love being here in Houston and at Rice. And a lot of it has to do with the people that are here. And that starts with our head coach. Mike is a great man. And, you know, when he called me with this opportunity, it was very exciting because of who he is. And I know the people that he was going to already have in this program. And so it was an easy decision for my wife and I to uproot ourselves from the West Coast and move here to Houston. We love it. But it really ends and begins with him. You know, football wise, we're lockstep in a lot of ways. We believe that the game should be played physically. You got to run the ball to win. And you got to be smart. You know, we're going to game plan some shot plays and scheme that way. So you know, it was an opportunity I was looking for. And when you get with the right people, the decisions become easy. And he really made it so. And, you know, and Rice is a unique place. It's in a major metropolitan city that has a lot to offer. It's a world-class education. And as a coach, when I think, okay, not only am I going to enjoy coaching with the men that are coaching here, but I'm going to be able to go out and recruit and sell what Rice has to offer. Not only are you going to get a world-class education, but they're going to, in essence, get a PhD in football between all the coaches here and all our experience. You know, it's fun to go out there and see who believes in what we're doing and sell them on that, that they can get everything they want in life here at Rice. That's
hang out. Hey, thanks a lot, Coach. Appreciate it. And be seeing you out of practice this week. And thanks for the time here tonight. Appreciate it.
Anytime, brother.
Thank you. Marcus Tuiasosopo, Owls offensive coordinator, joining us. And next, we'll hear from one of his star pupils, Jordan Myers, coming up next. This is the Mike Bloomgren Show from Learfield.
Hey, it's JP here to tell you that, yes, there's more Rice Owls content out there for you to consume. Subscribe and download the official podcast of Rice Athletics, Rice Owls Insider. Rice Owls Insider provides a unique new look at a variety of head coaches, players, and other integral voices inside the Rice Athletics Department. Plus, you can find archived coaches' shows as well. For the best in Rice Owls content, subscribe to Rice Owls Insider, the official podcast of Rice Athletics. Available on Apple, Stitcher, and Spotify.
You're listening to the latest in Owls football with the head coach, Mike Bloomgren. Now, let's rejoin J.P. Heath.
Welcome back on the Mike Bloomgren Show, brought to you by Fuddruckers. Making me hungry right now. We have number 7 of the Rice Owls, Jordan Myers, coming up in just 1 second. Don't forget the Owl Star Conference USA play coming up this Saturday on ESPN3. We'll have the audio side of that broadcast. Nate and Jason and me, and it's on ESPN3 as well. Hall of Fame weekend, and joined right now by a guy who certainly had a Hall of Fame performance this past Saturday, the number 7, I guess one of two number 7s on the Rice Owls roster, Jordan Myers. How you doing, young man?
I'm doing good, man. Got to enjoy the weekend with a great win. You know, excited for the team to, you know, build that momentum and, you know, go into conference the way we did, man. I'm super proud of everybody and the way we came together and just executed. So, you know, really excited for the conference. You know, it starts today.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to start out with the win, because with the way the season started, obviously the win was the most important thing to get. So I'll go on your career high performance in a second, but how much of a deep breath was it just to get that win for you and the team? That had to just feel good, no matter who it was against.
Yeah, it always feels good to win, man. Like Coach Bloomgren always says, when you college football, it's hard to get wins. You know, like you have to work, you have to, you know, put in the time and the effort, and you have to play a full 4 quarters of football. So, you know, it feels really good, man. It's just a little weight off the shoulder just to get that first dub out of the way. And then I think it was like a perfect timing for us as well, since we're going right into conference, because we needed that momentum. We needed that, like, that taste of victory. And I think that's going to help us, you know, strive for that each and every week.
So career high in carries, yards, touchdowns, and probably 3 other categories. At one point, and I'm always curious about this, do you at all know, okay, I'm close to 100, or yeah, that could, I mean, I know you're worried about the win first and foremost. We want to get that established. But at one point, do you say, man, I do wonder how many I have right now? Or does that even enter your mind at all?
It's sitting in the back of my mind every once in a while. You'd be like, oh, wow, like, I'm curious how many yards I accumulated on that drive or this drive or that drive. But at the end of the day, my main focus is victory. That's the only thing that we really want to focus on. Too many other distractions, the stat line, anything like that, not important. So basically, I just go ahead and stay the course, make sure I keep the team focused as well, because at the end of the day, what we want to do is win.
Now, we know you're an old man, wink, wink, right now, but can you think back your Dickinson Gator days? What was your best game or two? I know you have to go back and dust off the archives.
There was one specific game that always, you know, sits in my heart more, just because the atmosphere, you know, what was on the line, the rivalry, you know, it was a great time. But in 2015, when we played Pearland, at the Texan Stadium in the second round of the playoffs. We actually ended up going 4 overtimes. I also had 4 touchdowns that game as well. And I caught the game-winning touchdown pass, which was just an exhilarating feeling. You know, probably one of the most exciting feelings I've had. It just to be on that field with my coaches and with my teammates at the time. That's why we play football. You know, just to have those memories, those feelings, because those are things you can. I'm gonna tell my kids about. Those are things that you know, I'll probably look back on and just be super proud that, you know, I went to Dickinson. I got to be under a great coach like John Snowson, and then got to play with a great group of guys like I did. So, you know, yeah, definitely.
So no games of 160 or 200 or 300 at Dickinson, or do you remember?
I think I had a couple. I'm not exactly sure the specific games. I know I think I rushed for – I might have rushed for around 300 against Clear Springs that same year as well. I had a pretty good – O-line at Dickinson, so, you know, like, shout out to those guys, man. It was pretty easy to do those type of things, man, when you had an O-line like that back in the day. Mm-hmm.
And I can have fun with you. I'm sure the team does too. Anybody, I forget, I think I talked to Elijah Garcia. He was our first guest of the season. He said they make fun of him for having like his AARP card and going to draw some fire sometime soon. Any of the guys there to kind of kid you, like some of the freshmen have the gall to kind of nudge you at
times? Yeah, all the time. Yeah, if I have any, you know, nicks or bruises, I gotta be careful if, you know, saying it too loud. They're like, hey man, you're getting too old, man, you might have to, you know, retire here soon. I'm like, nah man, I love the game too much. Yeah, I'm gonna push through it all no matter what. But yeah, everyone always likes to joke about it and stuff, but you know, it's all good love.
Yeah. Oh, my back. They don't make fun of that or anything.
Yeah.
You did. I mean, it was a tough decision. I remember when I forget the timeline of when we found out, but I think it was spring ball when they found out, okay, the super seniors are coming back. And that had to have been a tough decision, or was it an easy decision to come back and use the extra year and stay on South Main? Kind of walk us through that thought process. I don't want you to have to speak for any of the other guys, but just for number seven's sake himself, how tough or easy was that for you?
Yeah, personally, it was a wild time, just because you never would have in a million years guessed that the pandemic was going to happen. NCAA was going to grant everybody another year of eligibility. So you just can't plan for something like that. And when the time came after the end of last season, you know, I had to sit down and question myself. It's like, hey, like, is this what you really want to do? Do you want to stay and continue to play football? And obviously, you know, I love football. So that question kind of went in and out really quick. I was like, yeah, I definitely want to play football. I was like, okay, what's your next move? And honestly, that the next question came pretty quick as well, because honestly, I was like, man, like, how would I feel going somewhere else? How would I feel leaving the family and the relationships and the bonds that I've created with the coaches and the players here at Rice? I don't think I could just redo that somewhere else. So it inevitably just came to the decision that I was going to stay. I trust Coach Blomgren. He's somebody who I've had a lot of ups and downs with. And he's made me a better football player. He's made me a better man, and everybody else in the coaching staff as well. So, you know, I give my heart and everything for these guys, especially for this team, because I know they'll do the same for me as well. So it was pretty easy to come back and understand that this was going to be the right decision for me.
Yeah, team captain. Obviously, Coach Bloom thinks a lot of you, and not to get all too mushy and sentimental, because I'm not really that type of guy, and I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Coach Blomgren told us after the game, he said, when we asked him about your performance, our sideline guy, Jason, did, and he said, what did it mean? He said, Jordan Myers embodies everything we want the culture of this program to be. So, A, what does it mean hearing that? And kind of give us some background of that, about kind of growing under Coach Blomgren and obviously coming under Coach Bailiff, then segueing here to Coach Blomgren.
Yeah, it was a big change, you know, especially when you come into college, you're still pretty young on the scene, and you get a whole new set of coaches. And the moment Coach Blomgren stepped on Rice, he had established a standard that if you weren't living up to that standard, things were going to change one way or another. And I definitely respect that, because I think that's what embodied and what created this culture that we have now. Because, like you say, I'm a captain of this team. a leader and things like that. But like, honestly, the way I see it is that I'm just kind of just a face of this team because we have so many leaders. We have so many potential captains in this locker room right now that I could literally just step up and be the face as well. And because they do such a good job of holding the standard and making sure that, you know, we're all striving towards one destination and one goal. So, you know, biggest thing, man, is just understanding that this team is just a big family. And we all stay together. And, you know, Coach Bloom is kind of just like that glue that holds us together. So, you know, definitely thankful for him and that. So big shout out to everybody who's willing to accept, you know, the standards that, you know, we've set. And we're always going to continue to strive towards those goals that we've set.
All right, lastly, I know you got to get, but discuss the season ahead. I read one of Chuck's notes that this is one of the few times that you guys have had all the conference games ahead of you. So you've got the season behind you in the Texas Southern game and all the games behind you, but you've got the whole season, really, all your goals are still attainable. So speak to us what that's like, because all your goals are still attainable, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot you can improve on, but a lot you can accomplish too.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we looked at with this season, especially with the first four games that we had under our belt, was like, we're gonna take shots. You know, we're gonna, you know, superstars and really play with the best. And we played some great teams, and we just didn't play to the potential that I know we can play to. So unfortunately, the outcome didn't end up how we wanted it. But you know, the way we see it is that we kind of just gotta learn from it and move on. Learn from the good, learn from the bad, and just continue to move on. Because the way we see it is like the real season starts this week. Because what's really important to us is winning conference championships and winning bowl games, and you know having, you know, the schedule that we have ahead of us, all that is still obtainable. So that's really what we're focused on, just moving forward, going each week 1-0, each week 1-0, each week 1-0, making sure that, you know, we're focused on not just the past, but, you know, focused on what we can do right now in order for us to come out on the other side of each Saturday victorious.
All right, one fib unintentionally, because Rice fans, rightfully so, want to hear about the academic side of things. I don't think you're working on your doctorate now. I say joking. Econ undergrad, right? And were you doing accounting, or update us on the academic side of things?
Yeah, so I got my undergrad in economics with a business minor. And then, you know, being able to come back with these guys, they granted me the ability to start my master's in accounting. And you're definitely working. They're definitely putting you to work, man. But, you know, shout out to a lot of the, you know, professors and a director of the master's of accounting. He does a great job of making sure we're all up to date with everything, making sure we're on top of everything, keeping us in a loop, understanding that it's tough being a student athlete. It's tired work, but, you know, he believes in us and understands that we can definitely, you know, get through it because we're smart enough. That's why we came here, because we wanted to play great football as well as get a great education. So big thanks to everybody who helps, not just me, but everybody else on this football team academically. We get through it. We definitely get through it. Long nights sometimes, but, you know, it'll all be worth it in the end, that's for sure.
Yes, it will. And a long season still ahead. I'm sure we'll talk again in some other situation. Thanks, yes, Jordan. Congrats on the win, and keep it going, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Jordan Myers of our Rice South. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we have Dunleavy Family Head Football Coach Mike Bloomer. We'll scout out the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. We come back next year. This is Rice Football from Learfield.
It's a new season. Get ready for more men's and women's college sports excellence. Trophies will be awarded in June to schools who take the top spot in the 2021-22 Learfield Directors Cup. The premier award recognizes one winning institution in all competitive divisions. Follow your favorite team's progress as seasonal standings are announced at L Directors Cup on Twitter and online at directorscup.org. The crowning achievement in college athletics.
Highlighting the Owls on the gridiron. Welcome back to the Mike Bloomgren Show. Here again, your host, J.P. Heath.
It's the Rice Owls and the Southern Miss Golden Eagles coming up Saturday night. Dunleavy Family Head Football Coach Mike Bloomgren with us again, scouting out Will Hall and the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. And They lost at number one Alabama on Saturday, but obviously you can't judge their whole first part of the season on that, coach. But what have you seen so far on Southern Miss, both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I don't think it would be right to judge them based on playing Alabama. I think Alabama just set a record for 100 straight non-conference victory, non-ranked teams they've beaten in a row. So, yeah, they're pretty much a machine, as we know. But anyway, they put some good stuff on film. They've had some good battles. They ended up coming up on the wrong side of the Troy game, but that's a game that they had the lead at halftime and played pretty well. So it presents a really good challenge, you know, with their defense being so stingy against the run and with Will Hall really bringing his offensive creativity and option background there. You know, it's an interesting mashup that you have on offense right now with Frank Gore Jr. and then a backup quarterback coming in that was so highly regarded. I think he was one of the top dual-rated quarterbacks in America. And it's still not confirmed that he'll start against us. I think there's still some thought that we'll get to see Trey Lowe again this year, which is interesting for me because I was at Trey Lowe's first birthday party when I worked with his dad at Alabama back in the day.
Okay. Do tell. What was the – goodness, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, we worked together. We were GAs together. And, you know, his granddaddy was a great player for Bear Bryant at Alabama. So everybody always thought that Trey would end up there. But obviously Trey went to West Virginia to start his career, and now he's at Southern Miss and has a little bit of a banged-up foot right now. So we'll see whether we get to play Trey or whether we get Ty Keys. And either one, the offense doesn't change much.
And a lot of that's because they're giving the ball to Frank Gore Jr. His name, I just read a lengthy Sports Illustrated article on him. And, I mean, Daddy played some ball, but son is not too far off that old block. And we saw him last year, too. So what has he done and continued to improve on? What style is he now?
Big, strong runner. You know, not big, not tall in stature, but big, thick lowers and really lowers his pads and tries to feed them to you. He is not going to be scared of anybody when he's toting the rock. And there's a lot of similarities between him and Dad. I'm not sure if Dad's still playing, but I think he played last year. So that's pretty remarkable in and of itself.
Yeah, the article said he's free agent. So after week two when they wrote it, so he's still out there. Another team could pick him up. But you mentioned earlier in the show about their rushing defense. And obviously, hey, no secret, you like to run the football. So that's a big challenge. But what makes their rushing defense so effective?
You know, I think a lot of what they've done is guys flying to the football, and they seem to have them confident in their blitz patterns and some of the movements they've done up front. I think their defense coordinator is doing a really nice job. He joins them from Louisiana Lafayette, where they also have built a very good defense there under Billy Napier. So I think it's really sound, and they're doing some things to disrupt you up front. You know, for us, we have a lot of confidence in our gap scheme and how it handles movement. So it should be a really heavyweight fight just in that little game within the game.
All right. Talk to you at practice this week and talk to you game day. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you, JP. Have a great night.
Dunleavy Family Head Football Coach Mike Blumgren. Stay tuned. Coming up next, I'll wrap up the show, give you another Owls sporting update, and we'll wrap up the show after this. This is the Mike Blumgren Show here from Learfield.
Hey, everybody, this is Mike Golic, and I'm back to host the second season of the Fan Exam live trivia game every Monday and Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Test your college sports knowledge against fans from around the country for the chance to win cash and prizes, including an unforgettable New Year's Day experience at the Rose Bowl Stadium in Pasadena. It's free to play in the brand-new Fan Exam app or at thefanexam.com. Get ready to ace the test. Join us for the Fan Exam Season 2 every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern.
This is the Mike Blumgren Show. Here again, the voice of the Owls, J.P. Heath.
Good Monday to all. Thanks to Fuddruckers for being our great sponsor. Fuddruckers has the world's greatest hamburgers. I am making an announcement right now. You listening? I'm going to go to Fuddruckers this week. If I don't know exactly when. Otherwise, I'd tell you to meet me. And I wouldn't be like Nate. Nate will say, hey, I'm going to buy you a coffee. And then not buy the coffee. So I could say, hey, I'm going to buy you a burger. I'm really probably not. But Fuddruckers has some amazing grub. It's at South McGregor in 288 location. Whether your crave is grilled onions, crispy bacon, three cheese, or all the above, we got you. Our produce and homemade buns, always fresh and delicious. Come by and create your crave today at Fuddruckers. Don't go off script, JP, they say. But I did, because I love me some Fuddruckers. Other Owls sporting updates. Again, Rice Owls volleyball swept North Texas Saturday and Sunday. Congrats to Shaylee Shore. She was named, that's an awesome name. She was named the Conference USA Freshman of the Week today. And number 24, Rice Soccer keeps rolling along. Second-year freshman midfielder Katarina Albuquerque picked a pretty good time for her first goal of the season. She scored in the 80th minute, and that broke a tie game to give the Owls a 2-1 win over La Tech Friday night at Holloway Field. And they've got some time off as they go on the road on Saturday, traveling to Bowling Green to face, well, they had some time off. They didn't play the Sunday game, but Saturday they'll be in Bowling Green, Kentucky, to take on Western Kentucky. And that's scheduled for 7 o'clock on Saturday, and that will be live streamed on your grandmother and uncle's favorite outlet, Facebook. Rice is 8-2-1 on the season, and 2-0 inside Conference USA play. Hey, speaking of your grandmother and uncle's favorite outlet, we've got that live in the booth feed. You can catch us on the Owls Facebook and YouTube channels during the broadcast. It's pretty simple. You just check out the Owls social media feeds. My Twitter is at Rice Owls Voice, and we stream that live. And I doubt there are many broadcast teams throughout the country who have more fun than we do. And you get just a little peek in behind the scenes. And my new haircut, and me messing with Bob and Nate. And we got Michael Kidd, Rice guy, back helping us on the spot. Walter, engineering, and the new dapper Jason Metko helping us out on the sideline. Remember, in everything we give thanks, thanks to all of you for tuning in to the show tonight. Rice and Southern Miss coming up. Hall of Fame weekend. Former footballers Chase Clement and Larry Izzo among those 11 inducted. But 5:30, Rice and Southern Miss. 5 o'clock, our Houston Methodist Hospital pregame show coming up on the Rice Owls Game Day app, the Varsity Network app, and RiceOwls.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the Rice Owls Insider podcast if there's anything you missed from the show tonight. And then we have frequent other podcasts throughout the seasons. Have a great night. God bless. Go Owls. Rice fight. We'll talk to you Saturday. Rice and Southern Miss here. This has been the Mike Bloomgren Show from Learfield.
On the Rice Sports Network from Learfield, you've been listening to the Mike Bloomgren Show. Tonight's show was brought to you by The Parking Spot. The Parking Spot. We have airport parking covered. And by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 716, lighting up Rice University and Houston for over 100 years. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Rice Sports Network.